Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our picks, trying to keep us in line, helping us to produce the effort, is the incredible whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar, he may be driving that train, but the only thing he's high on is life and a couple of high noons, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
All right.
Fellas, how are we doing, tuna? It's Super Bowl week. You're back where you always knew you were going to be. I know you're looking forward to the big game, probably not even nervous at all, just expecting another easy breezy blowout win. We'll get into that here in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, why even talk?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. It's just another work week, man. Time to bring the suitcase and the lunch pail and go back to work and finish the season out with another Super Bowl.
Lunch pail.
One of those big green coffee mugs, right?
Stanley, man. Yeah. But Stanley has gotten cool all of a sudden. Now every girl between age 15 and 45 is paying hundreds of dollars for Stanley cups. And I remember when every construction worker this side of Texas had a Stanley thermos sitting next to him.
I was just about to say that. I mean, if you could go back to like 1978, those guys could have retired just selling their thermoses.
No kidding. Like, I don't know, but Yeti took a back seat. Arctic took about all those cool little cups and tumblers and coolers took a back seat. Stanley's back, man.
Plug to Stanley.
Yeah.
Want to remind everybody, we are on social media. I made that announcement last week. We will be ramping up our social media presence here in the very near future. Give us a follow on X or Twitter or whatever you call that platform these days. Find us on Facebook. We will be putting out some pictures. We always update the new episodes there if it's easier for you to listen on a social media platform. And now would be a great time to start following us on Facebook, because here in March, that's how you can keep up with our Blockout Sports trip to Vegas for the first round of the NCAA tournament, which we are very much looking forward to.
Which Freddie may or may not be climbing the sphere while we're out there.
I just got my gloves, and I have some special Vans.
He looks like
a van guy.
He looks like Freddie Biletnikoff with all the stickum on his sneakers in his hands.
Buddy, I already got the hat right now. I can just jump right up on there. Yeah,
So, Super Bowl week is upon us. The big game this Sunday, obviously Kansas City, San Francisco. I know Tuna is a big-time Chiefs fan, as you well know from listening to this show. We have some dissenting voices down here in the downstairs pub, I know, because of the way our text thread has been going. I just kind of want to open it up first, and we're going to give Tuna the first opportunity. We'll all jump in with questions or comments, but Tuna, how you feel going into this game? Do you think it's going to be a close game? And what are some matchups that you're looking forward to seeing that you think might decide the ball game?
Well, what do you mean by close game? Like within 10 points, within one score?
I'll say within one score in the last 6 minutes of the ball game.
Okay. I think it's going to be like just like the last time we played them, we're going to win by 11. I'm not scared about the San Francisco team. I'm really not. The more I look into it, they're like the Monstars, and there's no time. I mean, it's just they can't play together. I'm not. They're loaded at each individual position, but like I don't see them as a team. Like they're I'm not. This is the only one that really concerns me here is Debo. Them getting tricky with him. Obviously, we've had
great prop bets there.
We've had some issues with some running backs and running quarterbacks. I don't think we have to worry too much about Brock Purdy getting loose on us, even though he did show his little wheels off in the Detroit game. He moved a lot quicker than I thought he could.
I mean, when you're in a game like that, in a playoff game, desperation, you're going to run maybe more than you're used to doing.
Yeah, I think
Mahomes does it and does it great, I think. I'm taking his rushing over.
Okay.
Actually.
I do think there's a couple weaknesses on the San Francisco offensive line. The Shanahan's play calling with using McCaffrey and Debo, getting creative with them in the short passing game and the run game, is probably the only way I see this one, you know, them putting points up consistently there.
You think Ayuk's going to get probably locked down by...
Yeah, I'm not really worried about Ayuk doing much.
I'm with you.
I'm more worried. I'm not worried about Kittle putting big stats up. I'm more worried about his downfield blocking.
He hadn't been doing anything much.
His downfield block. Well, I mean, the game against Green Bay, he had a good game, but he was non-existent against Detroit. Well, I mean, I say that, but he was out there laying wood like all game. So, I mean, we take that away from him when you don't see a receiving stat line, but he is probably the best blocking tight end in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love this Chiefs defense. You gave Spags 2 weeks to prepare for this this team. Andy Reid having 2 weeks. We know his record coming off of a bye week. I feel more confident about this game than I did about Louisville against Southern Cal in the Holiday Bowl. But we see how that worked out.
I found this interesting. I was looking through that. Pete Prisco did like a 1-3. I just thought it was interesting looking at all the stuff.
Reading I like
about
Pete
everything.
Prisco.
And he did the 1-46. Rated the players in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Based on past championships, injuries, things of that nature. And I thought it was interesting. I did the top 16, and after that it started getting into some players that I didn't even know, like offensive linemen, defensive linemen, da-da-da. Deep into it, but the Niners went 9-7 in that. Not that it mattered. Uh-huh. Not that it matters, but I thought it was interesting looking at.
Well, that's what Tuna said. He thinks they have all the talent in the world. They just don't put it
but
together.
By position. I definitely give the edge to San Francisco.
I thought his list was pretty cool that he had Pacheco 16th. I was like, wow, because I think he's gonna have a pretty damn good game, and you know how tough he is.
Give me what he has going 1-5.
1-5: Mahomes, McCaffrey, Trent.
Hold on. I wanted to see if we could guess this.
Okay,
almost.
Okay. That's why I did it.
You kind of went with that, like Trent Williams third is the one thing that I wasn't sure about. I feel like Trent Williams had to be in the top five. I'm gonna say four is Fred Warner.
No.
I think it's Debo.
It's Kelce.
Kelce.
Really?
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah. there's certainly an argument to be made there the way he's been playing.
I think the next one did surprise me. Chris Jones, fifth.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's tough. Yeah, he's...
Then Fred Warner.
I mean, Chris Jones is top two in all the NFL at his position. So you kind of have to...
It's interesting. To put him up I'll go there. Down and then just... I mean, it's only 16, but Bosa, Kittle, McDuffie, then Ayuk, Debo, Creed Murphy.
Creed Humphrey.
I mean, Creed Humphrey. I don't know who that is.
He's a center from Oklahoma, Kansas City center.
Center.
Yeah, drafted him fifth round 3 years ago. He's been to the Pro Bowl every year. Well, he hasn't got to go to the Pro Bowl because he plays in Super Bowls, but he's been selected to the Pro Bowl.
Well, there you go. Then Purdy 13th. So
yeah.
And Snead.
Well, according to a lot of people, Purdy is the 10th best player. Or, well, a lot of people being Cam Newton, I guess, one person. Purdy is the 10th best player on that team.
Which, oh, yeah.
Honestly, I could probably see that just by going down. Just because you play quarterback doesn't – I mean, that's a loaded roster. I just haven't
– I think for Rice to be 21st, he's a dangerous player.
Rashee?
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is his body of work is you're looking at
like
about
– six catches, 40 yards, but the tough way.
You're looking at 6 to 7 games where he's really came into his own. So it's hard to put
he's
that
a target
just on
now.
That. Yeah, I agree. He has completely learned how to, you know, run routes better and you know,
Mahomes
use his
for
body.
Him. He looks
yes.
for him.
Well, Mahomes is looking for anybody early on.
Well, the way he runs around, yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing is you, Kadarius Toney may play. Is he the last on the list?
Good Lord, I don't think I don't think he made the list.
Oh.
But to put a button on that, what he came away with all that, he said both O-line ranks are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there's going to be some offense happening in this game, and he said the cornerbacks are the chief strength overall in the whole picture. He said that I think they're the top difference.
Position group.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then Mahomes versus Purdy, Mahomes wins that.
Mm-hmm. Offensive line,
you know, he's two-time champ or MVP. I mean, you know,
other Purdy. Than Trent Williams, that offensive line is not that great.
I thought
San
it was
Francisco.
Interesting that he said your cornerbacks are the strength in that whole battle of all the 9-7.
I think you and
that's
I
cool.
are McDuffie, probably the only two people that would have agreed with that all season
right.
long.
McDuffie
like,
and
yeah.
who's the other one?
L'Jarius Sneed. Yeah.
Dude.
Which gave me a scare on Monday. He didn't show up for opening night due to personal issues. And that freaked me out a little bit. Anytime you hear a guy's not there on opening ceremonies and it's personal reasons and they're in Las Vegas, I start sweating. So
I hear you.
Come to find out it's actually good news. We don't know what the news is yet, but it's positive news, not negative news. So that's good, and he is with the team. And we've had some early reports of San Francisco already whining and blaming the practice field that they're on out at UNLV. I guess the NFL came in. I don't understand this, and I don't understand AstroTurf. It's a field turf or whatever the hell we're using now. But they took the surface that they're going to be playing on, and they put it on top of the existing field turf at UNLV, which just did this like big, you know, renovation to their facilities, and they've got top-notch facilities now out there at UNLV. And I don't understand why you put field turf on top of field turf.
Extra cushion there.
But I guess they were saying it was too soft and there was too many seams.
Those would be my two first guesses.
That's what I would guess, but I guess the NFL came out and inspected it and said, oh, it's fine. Y'all just need to calm down and shut up.
I would think at the bottom of that turf need to be bonded to something, but yeah, I hear
you. Well, maybe it was. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand the process. I don't know how it's installed or whatever. And I don't know. So now the excuses are already built in. And the fix is in.
Now, is this KC talking a little trash on that? Or
No. This is like real. It's like San Francisco is complaining about the field turf.
I gotcha.
Yeah, there's a point system, and I don't know how they come up with it, but for the NFL, it's supposed to be in the 70s or higher. Kansas City's field was like an 80-something, and the 49ers was like a 50-something when they tested it.
Well, that sounds like the NFL is stacking the deck against the 49ers.
I'm thinking that for sure.
What do you think, Tuna?
I think those numbers are bogus. And the NFL came out and inspected it, and I trust Roger Goodell and the NFL executives more than anything. Like, those guys are they don't miss.
They
don't miss.
No.
But they came out and inspected it.
If it comes out of Goodell's mouth,
they
hand you
trophies a lot, though. That's why you like them.
Well, yeah, for now. Like, I mean, I you know what? Draft a Mahomes, and then maybe you'll get to practice on the nice field. I don't know what to tell other teams.
It's the gospel according to Roger Goodell. I mean, you can just etch that in stone like the Ten Commandments.
You know what sells tickets, boys? Dynasties.
Okay, now, have you ever heard of Jimmy the Greek?
Yes.
Okay.
Once or twice.
Let me tell you something. This is for Jimmy the Greek. I like the over in this game, 47.5. I think it's going to be a 29-28 to 24 or 20, maybe 20-21. Maybe there's your 9. You said 11. I say 8 or 9, and I think they're both going to score over 21 points each or over 25.
I could see 21-10, 24-13, something like that. I don't know if I see that going over. You have – Kansas City still does have a little bit of a shaky offense, and I'm
well, I like the first half under. Of course.
What's the first half under?
23.5.
Yeah. That's
like
pretty good.
That. It is.
That's like
a Freddie move. Take the under and then go over.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a first quarter of some conservative play calling. And they're kind of filling each other out. And then things are going to open up there in that second quarter.
How many times you been on
the – except for the first drive. Each team's going to have their first drive, and those are always scripted, and then those go crazy. But then if – outside of that, I think we'll see a calm down.
How many times you look at your Super Bowl square and you're like, 3-0, dang it. You know what I'm saying? Or 7-3.
And then you jump up and down, and you're like, I got it, and you look at it, and the numbers are backwards.
Yeah. And, dude, for real, I mean, it usually is a slow starter in the first quarter, at least. It goes fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem that way to you all?
It does, and it seems like the third quarter always starts out slow because they've been in the locker room for an hour and a half while they're getting the stage off the field and all that crap. Everybody's getting their ice dried up off their knees and coming. Lynn Dawson's back there ripping cigarettes and
drinking Fanta.
Yep. So
well, buddy, good luck to you.
I don't know how the score is really going to go in it, but yeah, I'm with you there. The secondary for sure. San Francisco, their defense, it's, like I said, against Detroit and even Green Bay, the middle of the field has just been wide open. I feel like they have to have done something to keep that from happening. It's 2 weeks in a row. In NFL, we see it all the time. It's a week-to-week league. The adjustments are going to be made, so it's not going to be there from the start. But
Well, you know where we both stand. I don't know where Travis and Jody do just yet. I think I know where Travis does. But, I mean, I personally am sticking with what I said at the beginning of the year. The 49ers, I think, haven't played their best game. Will they? Who knows? But I'm rolling the dice and going with them. And I am betting overs and things like that. But yeah. Jody, Travis, who are you two guys taking?
Well, I was going to say, we'll get to some of our prop bets that we love later on in the show, but if you're asking for a prediction from me right now.
Yeah, just the game.
Well, how do you guys think the game's even going to go?
I think the game is tight going into the fourth quarter, and I think Mahomes makes enough plays down the stretch I think Kansas City wins. I'm going to say 31-24.
I think we should all do bets. Small little bets on exact scores with all of our exact scores.
Okay.
I'm going to write.
Yeah.
Jody, write our scores down, will you?
Yeah.
Are we doing that now or towards the end?
We'll just get our scores.
Just what we think the final's going to be. I've got Kansas City 31-24.
I'm going to take Kansas City 24-13.
Freddie.
I'm taking the 49ers 28-21.
Mmm. Juicy.
I won't bet that one.
Still hitting the over.
Jody, do you have a final in mind?
I was getting there. I'm going to go 27-21 KC.
All right.
Nope. I'm changing that. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. Indecisive whiteboard.
It's that jacket he's wearing.
I was about to say, I think
the
San Francisco's...
Have you not called him out for wearing his Giants jacket?
27-17, Casey.
Okay.
It's the first thing I did when I came in. At least it's just, I mean, I don't know. He's not pulling for the 49ers, at least, I guess. So he's not full San Francisco, man.
Right. It was shocking walking in, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, but... I mean, you see a pumpkin shirt, and you freak out a little bit, and you're like, I thought I was in my safe place, but apparently I'm not. Like... Got an enemy in there.
I'll call you next week and ask what I need to wear.
Well, I mean, you can wear anything you want, just not San Francisco Giants clothing. That's just not – we don't do that around here.
I got the Chiefs winning the game, bud.
That's like me coming down in this basement and Purdue stuff.
Or Auburn. Drink!
You can wear Auburn shit down here as much as you want. You come down here in a Purdue shirt,
yeah.
You're kicked off the podcast.
Exactly. That's and I would expect that.
The other big sporting event, at least for me, that I look forward to every year, and I love it that it's always on Super Bowl Sunday. It's a great lead-in while all the nonsense and the pregame, the 8 hours of pregame is going on. Is the Waste Management Open out in Phoenix. It's probably outside of the – and I think most golf fans feel this way. Outside of the majors, it's the tournament that I look the most forward to every
most
year.
Definitely.
Just because of the sheer spectacle of the whole thing. And I love watching the crazy psychos get there at 6 in the morning and
oh, yeah.
Sprint to the 17th, you know.
16th, isn't it?
Or
16th.
Yeah. The 16th hole, the amphitheater or whatever. I love the way that's grown over the years. If you guys remember, years and years ago, before they built the big amphitheater or whatever they call it there. That's not what they call
enclosure out there, yeah.
They call it the Coliseum.
Okay. That started, there was a margarita bar on the corner of the green there. That's how it started. There was a little margarita bar and people started congregating there cause you could get good margaritas.
You build it, they'll come.
And they were hanging out there and people started getting rowdy because they were having these cheap or relatively cheap, I guess, for a golf course margaritas. And every year it got a little bit bigger, so they put a little bit of bleachers over here and a little bit more, but added another bar. Then it got a little bit bigger, and they put that second row back there right behind the green. Then I figured out, hell, we can build a giant stadium right here and have, I don't even know how, Jody, can you look that up? How many people that...
Well,
area holds?
I actually want to talk about that. I watched something today. They go, we added more seats, but there's fewer seats available. Last year it was over 16,000. It's a little under 15,000 this year. But one section, they did more suites, and they did better, like, seat backs instead of bleachers everywhere. They still have some bleachers, but... So they added more. It's more impressive looking, but there's a fewer... less than 16.
And the fun and the pressure at the same time.
I feel like you could build a margarita bar at a section of any sporting venue, and people are going to congregate there.
It's going to grow. Probably.
Like, I mean, we could go to Yankee Stadium and put a margarita bar in, and, like, next thing you know, it's...
Of course, a margarita at Yankee Stadium would cost $67.
Well, if you have reasonably priced margaritas, like, we'll have to do it at the Masters, and then that way we know it'll be cheap like the pimento cheese sandwiches.
There you go. If you're also sitting in the seats at the Waste Management Open, you must wear cover. And be ready, because if somebody dominates a hole, you're getting beer all over you. And that's just a given.
If there's a hole in one, it's a free-for-all.
free-for-all.
I mean, it looks like the assault on Da Nang with the hand grenades flying through the
exactly.
air. Just kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. I'll never forget, was it Fowler a few years ago that hit that hole in one? And that was really the first one I remember where it was just... complete and total chaos. Like, chaos.
Dude's just ripping their clothes off and falling over. And yeah, it was...
You know, as you know, you always remember things like this a little bit more than what maybe it was. But as I remember it, it was people throwing babies in the air and, you know, girls showing their boobs. And, you know, like... I mean, but it wasn't an exaggeration to say that there were... hundreds and hundreds of full beers being launched onto the golf course.
and it could happen Saturday.
I had a friend who went 3 years ago, and they sat where the ball would land on the 17th drive so they could see the Coliseum. And there is a line around there waiting. When people get kicked out or leave, they let more people in. He said that line was over 500 people. All day long, standing there waiting just to get in.
My buddy Slota.
Waiting and drinking.
My buddy Slota was there, what, like 3 or 4 years ago and sat. I think he was in a suite and sat there and was there the whole day and said it was one of the best sporting events, atmosphere wise, that he's ever been to.
Oh, yeah. I want to get me a hat, dog.
Yeah. I mean,
Tuna were talking about it. I'm going to get me a Waste Management Open hat.
The cool thing about that tournament too, I mean, because, you know, with the majors, obviously you mostly care about who wins the tournament or who has a great story. The Waste Management, you remember Ricky Fowler hit a hole. Do I remember who won the tournament the year Ricky Fowler hit a hole in one? No. Do I care? No.
I just know Scheffler won it last year, but I mean, other than that, I can't go back and name.
Well, who do y'all like?
I have a few picks. I can start that.
Or no, give me, like, what do you think's gonna happen? You know, not just picks, but what do you think?
I mean, I'll say
he's playing good.
Thomas Dietrich's playing out of his mind, I think, the past two tournaments. I think he's going in here hot, and he has actually great odds on him right now. So the thing is, he starts out the first two rounds really well, and it's almost like he doesn't play well with a lead, and then he falls off there. But I like him finishing, you know, in the top 10, and who knows, maybe he gets over that hump and keeps going. But I look for him to have, you know, a good Thursday and Friday.
JT's been purring along a little bit, playing much, much better.
JT's been playing really well.
How did you like your boy Dunlap finishing DFL in the last tournament and still pocketing $30,000?
Yeah. School kid.
Welcome to the PGA Tour, Dunlap.
Roll Tide, Dunlap. Get it done.
I actually like, you talked about JT, and he's one of my picks. Another guy of that ilk that's been playing well that I think is poised to have a good year this year is Spieth. And I look for him to have a really good weekend. I also love Sam Burns.
Yes, I have him circled.
He was on him as well.
I love Sam Burns, and
he's playing great.
I mean, always ride with Max Homa.
Oh, Homa's the
Homa's
hometown.
And if there's ever a tournament that's like built for Max Homa to win, it's this one.
I agree.
He's probably the most Waste Management Open guy
there
is out there.
He is. And not hometown, but home. homegrown. You know
and
what I'm saying?
Ricky Fowler actually has some really good odds in this tournament. I think you can get it for. So I don't know. Is he dealing with any sort of injury or anything? Him being as far down on the list as what
I don't
he is,
think so. He's just a
surprise
kind of, he's an unknown commodity. I mean, he went so long with playing terrible golf and seemed to find some form last season. We'll see if that carries over through this year or not. I just think people are a little bit hesitant to jump back on the Fowler bandwagon.
Because, I mean, he was like a top 10 favorite in like the last several tournaments of last season. So
yeah, because he had
he'd been playing really well.
He had found that form. Now let's see if he can hold it.
I know Wyndham Clark, man, that major. Remember he had that fire in him when he won that major? He's a gamer, isn't he? He's playing hot right now. I don't think he can come from a 60 and come in here and win this.
I think that Dietrich is probably the hottest golfer. And obviously, you know, Scottie Scheffler is Scottie Scheffler. You got to watch out for him every time. So
I mean,
the bottom line is if Scottie Scheffler gets hot with the putter, he's probably going to win the golf tournament, but you can say that almost every week.
Yeah. The odds difference between him and the rest of the field I find fascinating.
Watch out for Minwoo Lee, because Minwoo Lee, I have him, and he's pretty funny little guy. I like him. He's a trip.
Let me read the list of favorites here. I think it's funny.
He's got the stash that I'm going to have in Vegas, by the way. And I've just started my Minwoo Lee.
So Scottie Scheffler is the favorite at plus 450 for outright winner. Behind him, next up, Justin Thomas at plus 1,100. So, I mean, that shows right there. And Max Homa's coming in third at plus 1,800. And him and Jordan Spieth are both plus 1,800. Sam Burns plus 2,200.
Yeah.
So Ricky Fowler's plus 5,500, just saying. Thomas Dietrich plus 7,000. Great odds on a hot golfer right now. So.
All right. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. Just even on top 10, I think he's plus 600 for
top 10.
Hey,
before we get out this golf, I was talking to someone that's I heard through the grapevine that old Cat, my boy, one of my favorite golfers ever, Kevin Kisner, is going to be doing he's already done some of the tournaments. Like,
oh, he's going to be in the booth on. He's locked in for several tournaments.
And so he's playing.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, dude. And
he's got a good personality.
I didn't get to hear him. But they did and said, I can't remember who told me. Was it you, Travis? Someone told me.
Yeah,
it was Travis last week. Yeah, dude, about kids. It was a couple of y'all on the garage bar, I think, or something we were talking
didn't
about.
Didn't I mention that on the podcast?
You did. You mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Did we mention it on here? Well, I'm pumped to hear him do some of these golf tournaments.
He's very good.
Dude.
You know his personality. He doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
He will criticize when that's needed, but he's also funny. He brings a obviously he still plays, so he brings a recent having played mentality, unlike a Azinger or somebody like that who's, you know, last played 20 years
ago.
He's
got his dip in. He's ready.
He's very, very good, and I look forward to him calling golf for a long time.
And his schedule is based on length of courses. The longer the course, he's out. He's not a long hitter. And he said, he goes, 50% of the courses that they play, I have zero chance to win. So
it'd be fun.
Well, and I mean, that's a guy that knows his game and knows
exactly
his limitations. And, you know, I mean, obviously, a guy like him could still go out and finish top 25 in all those tournaments and make a bajillion dollars. But I guess his idea is, if I don't have a chance to win, I'm not going to play a full schedule. He probably doesn't need the money.
True. And if you look at it, I mean, if he's in the booth, they're paying for everything all week. He's getting a paycheck. You know, he's weighing those options. Like, I got to finish in the top 15 to get paid what they're going to pay me, and I don't have to worry
about
anything.
I mean, Kisner, as much as we like him, isn't one of those guys that 10 years after his playing career is over is going to be getting big endorsement deals or things like
or
that.
It's
really smart for him.
The
it's really smart for him to say, this is my second career, and I'm going to get really, really good at this, and I'm going to make a lot of money for a lot of years.
Say he explodes, and he becomes this big personality that golf hasn't had really since, what, Faraday or, you know, somebody like that that's like, you know, football has so many personalities on commentators and, like, faces of the booth that we know we do with that sport. With golf, what analyst really stands out
to
you?
I mean, I like Chamblee, but a lot of people don't like him. But I do. I think he entertains me. But I like Jim Nance as well.
Takes himself way too serious, man.
You don't
like
Jim
Nance. I don't know if I call Jim Nance an analyst.
No,
that's not
what I'm
talking about.
Right.
Like,
no, I get it. Well, I love watching whatever's on the Golf Channel during a major, and it is Chamblee, but you got to, I mean, you have no other choice. I like to listen to him.
But I think you're talking about the
that's an award-winning show.
The
I mean, it is on, good.
On course.
That's exactly what
analyst,
I'm talking about.
Like a Faraday, Gary McCord, Ian Baker Finch.
Yeah, those guys.
Azinger.
Even Bones did that for a while before he got back.
I actually thought Bones was pretty good.
Yeah. He was.
Being a caddy for so long, I think they would all be good. I mean, they know the game so well. They know what that player's thinking. I mean, they can kind of throw that stuff out there.
The thing is like, you can't be vanilla. Like, you get on golf, and all these guys are so vanilla. And a guy like Kisner can get on there and add a little personality, a little bit of twang. You know what I mean? He can just add like some color to a bland sport, to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, agree.
And there hasn't been, I mean, you mentioned Faraday, who was kind of the comedy relief or whatever, but and I know a lot of people didn't like him, but my favorite analyst of my lifetime is probably Johnny Miller.
Yeah, well, he was very controversial. Not controversial, but he told it like it was.
Because he would just say, like, well, that was a giant choke.
Yeah.
And Ken Venturi did the same thing.
Yeah.
And, Travis, if I remember correct, on the podcast you said that Isner kind of reminded you of Johnny Miller a little bit. Like, he just kind of said it like it was.
In the... He's
David Duval said it like it was, but he didn't come off that good with him, right?
He's Kisner, you know, Johnny Miller was far enough away from the players that he was commentating on to really be no holds barred, because he didn't like probably go out to dinner with those guys or hang out with them. Kiz is still an active player, so he but to his credit, three or four times. I mean, he called out Spieth that one time, and was it Spieth?
Yeah, he's called a few people out. But
I can't remember, but there was somebody that spent like 20 seconds lining up a 3.5-foot putt, and he basically was like, for crying out loud, it's a 3-foot putt, hit it!
Yeah, see, I think having a rapport with these guys means that he can say stuff that other guys couldn't.
Right,
like,
true.
The closer
Very
I
true.
Am with people, the more I can talk, you know, trash
right.
about them.
And not totally throw
them
under the bus.
No, you don't completely badge them, but you rib them, and that's what it's about. Like, you're not.
They know. They know it's coming. Exactly.
And, like, when a player chokes, he knows he chokes. You know what I mean? Like, it's – you don't have to baby these guys,
exactly.
man.
Exactly. I agree. That'll be cool.
So.
Louisville just lost. Yeah. Dang it. We thought we were going to get a 2-game winning streak here in the Kenny Payne era.
Too good to be true.
That was a Big East battle, Louisville and the Cuse.
Man, they used
Syracuse.
To have some fun Big East matches.
Oh, yeah. The last... I
miss that old Big East more than anything.
I know.
Not the old Big East, but the...
And Big Monday.
The expanded Big East. Yeah, that was... Man.
I miss the old Big East.
Yeah.
You were too young for that.
I mean, that was there, but like the... You can go back and watch Rec Realm for the Big East on ESPN+. But, like, when they expanded it all and added all the Conference USA teams and so on, it was just insane. It was just a crazy physical brand of basketball. And, like, you played each team. I don't know. I don't want to get into
the
glory days.
Wasn't the last game, the Louisville game ever played at Freedom Hall, wasn't that Syracuse against U of L?
Yep, that was Kyle Kirk going off. In that game.
I remember that. I remember that. And that's a good segue to roll right into a little bit of college basketball. We're getting into the time of year where conferences are really starting to shake out. We see who the contenders and the pretenders are a little bit more, almost by the day at this point. I know the other day we picked some teams that we thought had a chance to win the national championship. I don't think any of those teams that we discussed have probably done anything to take them off of that list. I will say that the more I watch Purdue, the more impressed I am by the different ways that they can win, which I think is going to serve them very well. And it kills me to say, but I do think that they're built a little bit different than they have been even the last couple of years. I'm putting them right now, them and UConn, as my 1 and 1A's of who I think has the – if I was making the odds for the NCAA championship, I would put those two teams at the very top. Give me some thoughts on what you guys have seen in college basketball.
I mean, I'm with you with UConn. I'm not with you with Purdue. Like I said, I mean, they've been good. They have shown different ways to win. They've been in nail biters. They've pulled stuff out. I think they've been bailed out on free throws a few times. But
now you sound like an Indiana fan.
Are you saying they're one dimensional too?
I'm not saying they're really one dimensional.
They're not. They're not one dimensional.
They're not
at all.
Like they were last year. But I mean, outside, what do you have? Four guys that can play on that team. I mean, outside of that, I'm not sure. You know, any of those guys getting foul trouble in the tournament. I can't look at Purdue and expect them to do anything in the tournament until they've done something.
Now, and that
mm-hmm.
I get.
Yeah.
But it was just a couple of years ago that they were a miracle shot away from going to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. It happened right here at the Yum Center. Now, I get it. Last year was a disaster. And they've had a couple of those. But I don't know. Maybe part of it is because as much as I clown on Purdue, I really like Matt Painter. And I want – because Indiana is such a middling team, they're not going anywhere this year. I would like to see Matt Painter kind of get that monkey off his back make the Final Four.
Purdue's going to be the team that I hate on all year, and then they go on a deep run in the tournament, and they end up losing me a ton of money. And that's what's going to happen. I'm going to bet against them in every game. And they're my team for that this year. That was Washington in college football, and I got screwed. And it was, you know, Purdue, and I'm going to get screwed.
Well, there were a couple of football teams you didn't like.
Yeah.
Florida State was one of them.
Yeah, still don't like him. But other than that, I mean, I'm with you on UConn. I am.
I think Houston's going to be a team, and I know that they just I know that they came off a loss.
Well,
and then have since won. Huh?
They lost to Kansas.
Right,
I mean,
I get
that's going to happen.
But here's the deal: Houston and their coach. I mean, I think he just got kicked out of the game this past
that was last night.
Yeah, dude, he brings so much intensity with his team in a tournament. I think three of the games he's gonna win just based on his fire and his team's physicality and the way they play. I'm not kidding. I mean, his Kelvin Sampson is a maniac out there right now, dude. He's coaching harder than anyone, and I mean, it shows, you know what I'm saying by that. I mean, he literally is, like, watch him physically coach a game is
exhausting.
Yes.
I get that. I will disagree.
I think that's going to be a tough team right now.
I think they've had a couple better teams here in the last few years.
They have.
Better than this year. But a lot of it has to do with parity, too. I think anybody reasonably – in the top 25
right.
can win the tournament.
Well, I'll give
parity is higher than it's ever been.
I'll tell you the team, in my opinion, that has the best team that they've had for in a while. In my opinion, the Auburn Tigers. And, I mean, I think those guys, they're a great defensive team. They're like fifth in the country in defensive efficiency. Or they're in assists in the top 10. They're in the top 10 in field goal percentage. Auburn is a team, and their deep with their defense, the way they're playing, is a team that scares me. That I've been putting a few little wagers on.
Well, you want to talk about a coach that brings? You're talking about Kelvin Sampson bringing intensity to a to a game or a tournament run or whatever. Bruce Pearl is right up there anybody.
I know.
But this, he's insane also.
I just don't like how wet he gets. I mean, it's almost uncomfortable to look at.
I know what you're saying, Jody, about Houston, but that made me think about Auburn, where I think they are maybe as good as they have been, that they can maybe rain. Now, of course, Tennessee's due. They've been knocking on the door. They've been knocking on the door. Kansas is always knocking on the door.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody's going to discount Kansas's opportunity to make
a
deep run or to win the national championship.
Tell you another, a team that's good, that's real high in defensive efficiency up there in all the categories, Iowa State.
Oh, they're fun team to watch, especially at home. That's it's not a place you want to go to. Ames, Iowa is those fans, the students is I'm with you, man.
I mean, they're 17-5 mm-hmm. or something like that in
16-5 right now. Yeah,
in a tough conference, and
I'd put their home court advantage up there with just about anybody. That's
they're actually 17-5 after.
Give me the coach there, Texas. Travis. I'm having a. Brain smacker. Well, dude, put it this way:
his name.
You've got Iowa State on scoring margin plus 19. BYU's playing great.
Otzelberger, PJ Otzelberger is the
Otzelberger. Yeah. Now that's a good trivia question. He's Iowa State's coach, Otzelberger. That's
hilarious. And I mean, Iowa State, it's not like they're a team that, you know, has never been successful. I mean, Iowa State has a storied basketball tradition. And
remember
that,
Royce White? He was scared to get on airplanes.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Jeff Grayer back in the day.
The mayor, Freddie Hoiberg.
Yes,
of course.
Freddie Hoiberg, the mayor.
Where's Freddie Hoiberg at right now?
Nebraska.
Oh, is he head coach in Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, come on over to Louisville, buddy. I'd be okay with that hire. How's he doing with Nebraska? Not good?
Midland.
Mm. Well, it's Nebraska.
Good old Iowa State. They've always brought it. They've always brought the state of Iowa. They've always had good basketball teams. They just can't score in football. We know Creighton. We've talked about Creighton. I don't know. I mean, Jody, you got anything on college ball?
I said a few weeks ago, watch out for Utah State. Do I think they can win it all? No, but they're playing well. Here's a sneaky one in the Southeastern Conference, is South Carolina.
I don't think that's sneaky, really.
But, well, they've moved.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they moved 11 spots in 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're
– Who?
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good basketball team.
That's a good basketball team, but nobody talks about
You'll be hearing
about
them from me later on in the show.
They had a great game with Ole Miss last night.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And won.
Ole Miss was undefeated there for a while, right, and lost two out of the last three, I think.
Well, their opening – schedule
was the worst
that it could be.
Yeah.
So they were playing like St. X High School and whatnot. But
Tennessee scares me. I'm in agreement with you all. UConn and Purdue are up there right now, but that can all change in a week. The biggest surprise that I've seen, I've watched Kansas many times this year. They play 5 minute stretches. They play like they can't be beat for 5 minutes. And then they cannot literally dribble the basketball for the next 5 minutes. I don't understand that team. But North Carolina is getting scary, that defense.
Yeah.
I didn't see them
it's hard
turning
to believe
around.
That Kentucky beat them.
No, what about Clemson going in there and
well,
giving
Clemson
them the what for last
Clemson
night?
Just beat them.
They beat them
in
last
Chapel
night.
Hill.
Yeah.
Minus that, yes. Mm. But their defense. North Carolina, I think, lost back-to-back. UK and Kansas, right?
But then
they went on a tear and they were killing people. So,
but then they've lost Duke and Clemson back to back. So
no, they beat Duke, didn't they? They beat Duke.
They won against Duke.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The game was at Carolina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. The game was at Carolina. That's right.
I mean, a team that I'm seeing in all these categories, some of these betting categories I'm looking at, defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency, scoring margin. I like to see who leads the country in assists. I think that is a good way of showing a team, especially if they're a top 25 team, that they know how to pass to each other and score points. Is Arizona. They are up here all over in everything.
What are they
third in assists.
What do they average per game in assists?
19.
And that's high.
And Kansas averages 20. BYU is 19. Purdue, Colorado State, Auburn, Kentucky, UConn, Tennessee. But no, I mean, I think this is one of them years when it's wide open. I mean, even UConn, yes, UConn is going to toughen you, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they can do something and stay tough-minded like they are.
More so than ever,
for a second run.
Yeah, I think Selection Sunday, when you're watching,
Purdue's
your draw.
Hungry now. Purdue's hungry.
When you're watching your draw, I think every team in the nation is looking at one bracket that they don't want to be in, and that's with UConn. I feel like that's the one team that you want to avoid. Everyone else, I feel like, is wide open.
They're the most consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that bottom line, offensively, defensively, every game, they are the most consistent team in basketball. And that's why they're number one right now.
Let's also not forget that there's a team lingering down. I don't know what their ranking is. They're in the probably around 20th or between 15th and 20th. That's 18-4 coming off of a championship or a Final Four appearance last year. And that's Florida Atlantic.
I use next head basketball coach.
That's Florida Atlantic.
They're up here in defensive numbers.
You think anybody in the tournament wants to see them?
No.
With those tournament-tested studs coming back and one of the best coaches in college
I still
basketball.
Got my T-shirt from Florida.
I do, too.
Hell, yeah.
Florida Atlantic T-shirt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Travis and I had them on with cocktails down there on the balcony.
I'll get me a Florida Atlantic Howard Schnellenberger shirt. He started that football program.
Yes,
I'll rock that. Way. We'll go to Vegas and be Florida Atlantic
Travis,
on weekend.
Before that game tipped off, who won the Florida Derby?
Mage.
Oh, yep. That's right.
Eventual Kentucky Derby champ.
That's right.
What is Florida Atlantic's mascot? Is it an owl?
An owl.
Yeah.
Okay. Owl. Yep.
I can see us wearing owls in Vegas.
Yeah.
I still have my cool Florida Atlantic shirt.
In case anyone doesn't know, Tuna and I are growing mustaches.
Mustaches.
For Vegas, we got to do something. You know?
Mine's grown. I just got to shave the rest of
it
off.
Right, but I'm just now starting mine.
Mm. I don't see Travis doing that.
Travis, we were going to ask you if you would. I was like, I bet he would do it.
It can be a Fu Manchu. It could be any form of mustache.
You can't see mine.
Grow it out. We'll get you a fake one.
Still got to do it.
I'm going to say
glue.
Anyways, this is for good luck.
I'll wake up the next morning and be sideways on my face.
I'm going to say.
We're going to Smokey and the Bandit.
I'm going to say absolutely not is my initial thought.
Travis is the one behind the camera, I guess.
I'm always afraid that if I shave my beard off, it's not going to grow back.
Right. Hey. I just want to be called the Bandit one
That's
night.
An odd fear.
I have a nightmare. Those of you that don't know me, I have long hair and a beard, and I have this nightmare of getting all my hair cut off or getting like a respectable haircut and shaving my beard, and my hair quits growing, and so does my beard.
I think your beard always grows, though. It's not like the hair on your head. It will always come back. I'm pretty sure that's science.
Well, that's the excuse I'm going to use as to why I'm not going to have a mustache.
Oh, we need mustaches.
Well, that'll work. I mean, you know, just you'll know where to find. You'll see Tuna and I from across the craps table.
I can't wait. I've seen Fred with the mustache. I can't wait to see Tuna with one.
Yeah, I've had the handlebar.
Yeah,
once
I can't
twice
wait to see that.
I've had a Fu Manchu before, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, in honor of the San Francisco Giants, how about the Goose Gossage? Didn't he play for the Giants?
Yeah, we're thinking more like Raleigh Fingers or Andy Reid. Those are the two I'm going with.
Okay.
You got
in honor of those two.
How are you going to freeze that thing before you go to the casino?
I'll carry around a little air conditioning thing to put on my face over and over.
Travis, now we mentioned Raleigh Fingers. We ought to kudos the Hall of Famers.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. We had, three guys get in that were big. Todd Helton, Joe Mauer.
Tennessee boy, wasn't he?
And Adrian Beltre.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get your take, just a quick little thing, because, dude, I love the Hall of Fame. I mean, I love every Hall of Fame. When Fred McGriff got in last time, I thought it was great. We talked about it in depth a little bit because it was awesome. We had friends that were there. What do you think about these guys? I like getting your take.
I'll say this. I love the Hall of Fames. I hate the whole voting process for Hall of Fames. It drives me absolutely nuts. But I do think all three of these guys deserve to be there. I can go through that list and find, 20 guys that deserve to be in there.
Right.
And I hate to take away from the three guys that got in by talking about the guys that didn't get
in. I get it.
But I think the three guys that got in were all three very deserving.
Right.
They were, Adrian Beltre, one of the best third basemen to ever play.
Yeah.
And, great bat. Todd Helton, you can't say enough about Todd Helton. I mean,
playoffs.
Yeah. Joe Mauer, I guess, is probably the only one that you could raise question marks about.
Was he kind of like Steve Garvey?
Was
he Mr. Clean?
Maybe in a way.
I think he was kind of a Mr. Clean kind of. Joe Mauer. But
he just did.
But he was also a great postseason player.
We'll call him a Stanley Cup guy.
Okay.
He would not the hockey trophy, the thermos, the Stanley thermos lunch pail guy.
He would
show up to work every day and just do his job.
He's the only catcher in the history of Major League Baseball in the American League to win a batting title.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. So.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that factors into those guys that are on the edge and they're like, what is it, 75%? Is that what they have to have? So they're at 73%, 5 or 6 years in a row. But you look back and they did this for the community, and the community loved them, and their teammates loved them. And
Billy Wagner needs to find 10 more people to love up on. And
he was like, 73.4% or something like that?
73.8. Okay. He had 284 votes.
Closer?
Yeah. He had 284 votes, and Mauer had 293. That's how close he was to getting there.
How close did Sheffield get?
Sheffield was at 63.9, 246 total votes. This was his last year.
He's never going to get in.
This was his last year?
Yeah.
Damn.
He's always been, the past 3 years, I guess, he was right at that, 50 to 60-ish range. And I didn't think that he'd get 75 this year.
Kenny Lofton's sitting at the dinner table and he can join him.
I apologize if you just said this because I was looking at stats and stuff. But what did Gary Sheffield do between last year and this year that a bunch of people that never voted for him before decided to vote for him this year.
That's what I was talking
about. It makes no sense,
The process is terrible. He got votes because people were like, this is his last year. It's almost like when you say somebody's a first ballot Hall of Famer, that's tough to do because you can have a great career. You get on that ballot. They're not going to vote you just because it's your first year. Between that second and fourth year, or whatever, you kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
And I don't know. The whole process is terrible.
I agree with you 1,000%.
There are literal guys, and I think it was more the old guard that has gone away a little bit, but there were literal guys that it didn't matter who you were. Mm-hmm. They would not vote for you on the first ballot.
Yep.
They just wouldn't do it.
I know.
I mean, it's insane to me.
Well, who's the highest? Jeter the highest, correct? Griffey second behind him?
Yeah, I believe so.
98%. So, yeah, there was somebody that didn't vote for Jeter or Griffey.
Yeah, and you should lose your right to vote. You know, you should lose your vote just for doing that. Because you can clearly say that Derek Jeter was 100% a Hall of Famer. And just because it was his first ballot does not mean, you know, I don't know. It's bad.
I agree.
I've seen guys drop where they come in right away and they'll get like 50% in their first year. And then their second year, they drop down to like 35% because they get lost in that shuffle.
It comes from that Baseball Writers Association. Yes. Those are the guys that vote. And they get one bad interview with them or have one bad interaction with them over the years. And they get butt hurt and hold a grudge for the rest of their life.
I even think more than that, and that does have something to do with it, but I even think more than that, it was this mentality that was passed down from sports writer generation to generation that this is the sacred institution, and I get that, a sacred institution or whatever, and we will not vote for guys on the first ballot or the second ballot. This year, Gary Sheffield went up almost 10%. Billy Wagner went up 6%. Todd Helton went up 8% to make it. Now, what was it for those 8% of guys that the year before this said, I'm not voting for him? And then this, was it just because who was on? It makes no sense.
Do you have to mail these guys fruit baskets every year?
Maybe.
Like, hey, remember something. Me? Like, take their, you know, families out to dinner and send them gifts? I don't know. Like, it's like Heisman voters. You got to send them all that stuff so they remember who you are. Like,
and so Sheffield is off the ballot. Billy Wagner needs, like, 5 more votes.
Get it,
so
Billy.
He needs to be politicking.
Good luck, Billy.
Whatever he needs to do. The next guy in line at 61.6% this year,
blue.
Up 3.5% was Andrew Jones. Now, Carlos Beltran was up almost 11%.
That's one of your guys. He was up and now he's getting lost.
That happens
Carlos
more
Beltran.
Than not. Yeah.
And then you get drop way down to like A-Rod, Manny Ramirez and those guys.
Mark McGwire.
But
what about adding living Hall of Famers into that discussion and let them have a vote?
Well, I think that you run into a problem with that. I don't think a lot of Hall of Fame baseball players that are still alive actually watch that much baseball to vote.
I would agree with that.
And then they're probably going to just vote with guys that they know it's going to be like a good old boy system. And which
like the SEC?
I like the idea on its face, Jody, but I think what Tuna just said is probably right.
Well, I was just throwing it out there for a conversation piece. It's like the Heisman, former Heisman winners get a vote, right?
Yeah.
And so they do watch football. Hell, the baseball writers and the four of us get a vote. What do you think about that?
I think we should just let Bob Costas pick. Just be like, Bob Costas says you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You got to pass the Costas test.
Yeah, good. Good.
Him and Peter Gammons.
I'll take Jim Nance's pick any day.
Oh, man. I used to love Peter Gammons.
Yeah, he was the best. Baseball Tonight with him and Harold Reynolds. Get that name out.
Yeah,
it was one of the best shows ever that ESPN had. And then when Baseball Tonight went away, I knew ESPN was going downhill. So,
Carl Rabbit spends part of his time doing basketball now.
Yeah, we got some baseball in there, Tuna.
Pitchers and catchers are reporting here real soon. What is that, next week?
You want to say, hello?
This week.
You want to say hello to your friend that just came back? No, I'm kidding.
Welcome back to Los Angeles, Clayton Kershaw.
There you go.
17th season with the Big Blue Machine.
If our listeners
don't
could...
you blaspheme? Don't you blaspheme down here,
Travis?
With that Big Blue Machine garbage.
If our listeners could have seen Tuna walk in because he legitimately had his blue bee hat on and rolled in and saw Jody Whiteboard in the Giants spring training gear. like San Francisco Giants. Like, I thought they were going to have a little Ron Say versus
For those of you listening, I was at a Giants game years ago.
Ron Say
it was
versus
hot
Bruce
and about
Bocci
the
battle.
If you've been in San Francisco, it was hot and about the sixth inning. I mean, shorts and a t-shirt.
And
about
you bought
the sixth
a sweatshirt.
It went down to like low 40s within like an hour and a half. It was we were freezing.
Well, I understand
so I
that
sweatshirt.
It keeps you warm, but you knew tuna was coming. I think you
man, if you think I think about that, you're wrong, Freddie.
Oh my Lord! Wow.
It's
well,
all right.
We got baseball in, and I love that we got to do that.
I have something that Kershaw said a few years back. Of course, Will Smith is a number one catcher for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Played at U of L, went to KCD. Will Smith, he got called up. What did he play, like 40 games that first year maybe?
Yeah, it was less than 50.
And then the next year he played like 120.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say somebody went to KCD?
Yeah, Will Smith.
Will Smith.
The hell with him.
His mom was a teacher out there. He was poor.
Yeah.
for those of you that don't know, KCD is one of our arch rivals at my beloved collegiate.
Coach Carter.
But
in the elites of the city go.
In an interview with Kershaw, I think that first 2 years, Kershaw said, "That kid will never catch for me." And he didn't.
Nope. Oh, wow.
And now he's the only guy that will catch for him. They have this bond
cool.
now. That started, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah,
probably?
Kershaw, it took a lot. He didn't like the way that he called the games, which he was young, getting used to it. And Kershaw is like he's a perfectionist, like most guys that are, like, at the top of their, you know, sport.
And then he heard that the guy went to
went
freaking
to KCD. That's why.
And he's like, the hell with him.
Yeah, that's why. But credit to Will Smith.
He just signed a big contract, his first contract.
Can you imagine how intimidating it is when you come up and you get behind the plate and Kershaw, who is the big guy, the big cheese on that team, says, "I'm never pitching to that guy"?
Yeah.
Like, how awful would that be?
Yep.
He put his head down, went to work, and he just slowly
gained
the trust of a lot of these guys.
Would you put that in the
title? And then Kershaw had to pitch
to him. And I did follow that because of the local interest and all that.
Dave Roberts swears that he's going to be a manager one day.
Will Smith is the only Gold Glove catcher, I believe, in U of L baseball history that they have for college baseball.
What?
He won a Gold Glove in college baseball for U of L. I think he's the only one they have. University of Louisville.
Oh, yeah, probably so right now. I thought you were saying he was the only catcher. I was like, we've got a lot of catchers that are coming up in the – like Henry Davis for the Pirates is he's locked in to have a big year, I think.
And he just signed a good contract with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last year he's making 700 and something, and I don't know what it is, but it increased.
Well, I mean, it's good that he could pull himself up by the bootstraps, come out of a place like KCD and make good for himself.
Good for him.
We're all rooting for you, Will Smith.
Chill, Will.
Hey, I know we've got the Super Bowl and the waste management coming up this weekend, but here real soon we do have the NBA All-Star Game, which is taking place in Indianapolis, Indiana, which I am super excited about. I was actually at, not the All-Star Game, but I was at some of the festivities the last time it was in Indianapolis in the 80s. It was super cool. It should be a ton of fun. I know Fred wants to talk a little bit about.
Oh, no, I wanted to get in there. I wanted to tell Tuna, this is what I wanted to do. Is go. Well, Travis and I have an all-star entry, and I was going to ask you if you had one, a representative in the all-star game.
Entry?
Yeah. You got
Is there a player from your team?
From the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Desmond Bain?
No, he didn't make
it. Damn
it,
then no. But I did see that Xavier Tillman got traded today.
We're giving you
to the Celtics.
We're going to all-star. We're going to NBA get you a little bit because you were on the Grizzlies.
I still
am.
You
lost your guy.
I've been watching the Grizzlies.
I know, but I was just, you know, it's fun to have a representative. I obviously have Halliburton. I'm a Pacer guy now.
Oh, wait a minute. He has Freddie has Halliburton now?
Stop. No, no, we don't. But, we don't.
Isn't that Dick Cheney's company that he owned?
That's actually, that is right. That is,
I know,
very
it worked
true.
For him.
But I do think that that the All-Star game is always fun. I'm not the I, just the festivities that lead up to it. The I think the Friday rookie game is always great.
Yeah, Oscar Tshiebwe from UK is playing in it. In the Rising Stars game.
Yeah,
this
the
year.
Rising Stars game. That'll be coming up.
The 3-point shootout is always cool.
3-point shootout, Lillard, Brunson, Spida, Maxey's in it, Markkanen, Halliburton's in it. And guess what? On the dunk contest, Jaylen Brown's going to jump in from the Celts. And Mac McClung is back.
What, did they just
Tunis
bring this poor
guy
kid?
Is back.
They just bring this kid up for the dunk contest. Does he even play in the NBA?
Dude, they used to
he
do
is
that.
Back.
There was and
Matt McClung.
It kills me. I can't remember what his name was, but several years ago there was a player for the Pacers. That was the last guy, basically the last guy on the bench. That they brought in just for the dunk, and he damn near won the thing. Maybe he did win it. I don't know, because right. The dunk contest to me, and I think to a lot of people, is, you know, if you go back to the last time it was in Indianapolis,
good.
You had Michael Jordan and right. Dominique Wilkins and Spud Webb and guys like yeah. that, and now, and they were doing what back then were, you know, it was shocking to see that stuff. Now everything's been done. They
it
bring
has.
Out props.
McClung did great, though, I thought, to bring
that's,
it. To,
when you're a short
something.
White guy, you can make a lot of stuff look spectacular.
Cool. Yeah, I think the best time before McClung was when the Aaron Gordon got into a battle with, was it Zach LaVine? I mean,
yeah.
it was un-freaking believable.
But I don't really care about the dunk contest
anymore. But anyways, the
anymore.
3-point is what I really was talking about.
Is this stuff Friday night or Saturday night?
The 3-point competition and dunk contest is Saturday night. Friday night is the
Rising Stars,
the Rising Stars game
skills.
At like 7:30. Yeah,
so the actual game is on
Sunday.
Yeah, hold on.
No. Hold on. This is the thing. It's not this weekend. It's next
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah.
They're talking
yeah.
about it a week early.
Okay.
That's what right. I just said. Was
okay.
That,
I'm sorry. I was spaced
was
out.
That,
no. Well, what we were getting at was who we wanted to talk about, the snubs.
Oh, okay.
Of getting in there. And I thought Spider should have gotten in. I thought that Donovan Mitchell with
I
his
blame
team,
the,
with his
the
team
baseball
having
writers.
A good season.
Agree.
It's Bob Costas' fault.
I will say this. I'm not a big NBA guy. I will say this. I disagree with you on the dunk contest. For about 10 years, it was terrible. The
right.
last 2 years has actually been pretty good. They actually came up with something new,
right.
and they changed a few things.
How about De'Aaron Fox?
Right, De'Aaron Fox.
He was a snub.
He got snubbed.
He comes off the bench.
I thought Sabonis, who had 14 triple-doubles, was a snub. And they have their team playing very well. Anyways, I just wanted to hit on the All-Star picks, the snubs.
And we'll get into the All-Star game when there's nothing else going on.
Right.
Here, Jesus, Fred, that...
Right.
I don't know what you're doing.
I don't either.
I will say Adam Silver, I think next year they're going to go to 15 players on a bench instead of 12 on each.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So for those of you, I wish we had a camera down here, because Freddie was signaling us like he was bringing a 747 in over at Ali Airport. And we didn't really understand what was going on. He was trying to tell us he needed a bathroom break. So that was what the little pause was there Freddie is now feeling much better. Oh, I can tell he's much more relaxed. And with that being said, it is time now to talk about our picks and our best bets for the weekend. You can go anywhere you want to with this. There's no number. We're not going to make a number. No, I don't want you to pick 10 things. But if you have a couple of picks, a couple of props for the Super Bowl, maybe a basketball game here or there, would love to hear it. And also anything else that you might have to say. We're going to do a combo, our picks and around the room, and we're going to start with Tuna.
All right. One that I looked at early on in the week, and I shied away from it due to recent news, but it seemed too good to be true. Jerick McKinnon, don't fall into the trap. A lot of people are betting his anytime touchdown. Stay away from it. He was the guy that fell down at the end of the game last Super Bowl against the Eagles to eat time off the clock to save the game. So a lot of people are saying, hey, Andy Reid owes this guy a Super Bowl touchdown. He just got activated off the IR. I don't think he even plays in this game. So don't fall into that trap. I talked about the middle of the field being open. I'm going to stick to Travis Kelce. Obviously, anytime touchdown. Over his receiving yards. I would almost do alternate receiving yards at over 70 on this one. And I am going with a Noah Gray anytime touchdown. I really like that. And then, obviously, I'm going to take the Chiefs with the 2.5. And I also like the under in this game. Also, tails never fails. So, go with tails on the coin toss.
I love that. I just started doing the coin toss 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So far, I'm 0-2. So, the average has to be with me this year, right?
Yes.
So, you're telling me go tails.
Go tails.
I'm going tails.
And one more thing before I pass it around.
I like tails as well, Tuna.
It was brought up to my attention that we're going to have a new Olympics starting soon. The guy that started PayPal, him and a couple other really rich guys, they're, I guess, private equity guys, which I don't even know what private equity is, but it sounds like something rich people do. But they're starting their own Olympics. It's going to have every country that can qualify involved. There will be no rules or regulations when it comes to doping. So this will be the enhanced Olympics. And steroids are a full go. So I am looking forward to this. We are going to see world records get shattered at a record pace.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I cannot wait for that. Freddie.
Well, I'm going to go with my first. I'm going to give you my picks here first, and then I'll get into what happened just a horse for this week or this past week. Let's go in. I'm going to do the halftime under 23.5. The first half under. And I'm doing a bet that's really shocking me. I've already bet it, but I didn't know how good it was. But a Deebo Samuel anytime touchdown is +142. And that's a $22. On a $50 bet, you get $72. That's 22. Nice on a bet that will probably happen, and you're getting 22 extra. +142 is a great bet. And then I'm going to go with the 49ers Chiefs over 47.5.
Okay.
47.5. And let me jump in here real quick, Travis, and just say,
yeah, please.
All the preps that went on this past week, four of them, A lot of upsets. Some horses jumped in there. Hades and Nisos, who's not going to get any money. Uncle Heavy, who Tuna loved because, you know, some people call him Uncle Heavy. but Mystic Dan wins the Southwest.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
He's my brother. Mystic Dan, that's the name you need to remember. He had a 101.
I was reading about that horse.
Yeah, a 101 buyer number in that race. 110 speed number. Mystic Dan in the slop. And that's a horse to start listening to. He'll be in the Arkansas Derby next. Which is a long way away, but that's the horse you need to remember that did really well in all these preps, probably the top of the board for last Saturday. We got a race coming up Saturday, but I'm going to wait till we handicap like a couple good ones coming up, the Rebel and some of them. So,
all right,
we'll be talking about that next week.
Sounds good, Jody. Give me some picks and some final thoughts from you.
I got KC plus two to win the game. TDs over 3.5 total. That's between both teams total for the game. I got over on that. And I got McCaffrey in anytime touchdown. Going back to golf, throw a little money on JT. But throw a little money on Thigala. He's plus 3,500. Just throw 10, 15, 20 bucks on him. I like the guy. I think this is an event. This is the kind of event he can win, too. Final thoughts. Not do anything with sports. We lost Toby Keith on Monday.
Good call.
That was the first concert my son and I ever got to go together. And we actually went to three of his concerts. So, God rest his soul. Friend of the show, we also we lost her mother this week. So,
oh, yes, yes.
Think about her.
Natalie, we're thinking about you for sure, yes. And go Sooners for old for him. But, yes, thanks. Thanks for everyone. Travis, to you, buddy.
All right. My picks are I'm going to take Kansas City versus the spread. I'm going to take Purdue against Indiana. I don't care what the spread is. I'm going to take South Carolina versus Vandy. I don't care what the spread is.
What's the spread? I don't care.
And then
52.
And then, as we said before, I'm going to put Sam Burns, Spieth, and Jordan Thomas, all to finish in the top 10 of the waste management.
Love them. Love those bets.
Now, Colin, I forgot to have, I've got to really quickly. Colin has the Chiefs plus two.
Oh,
smart guy, Colin.
He took ya.
He is taking Steve Alford's Nevada team, who I foolishly bet against last night. Wow. He is taking them against San Diego State.
Nevada.
He said whatever the spread is. And then he is taking Florida Atlantic minus five against UAB.
I like that pick.
Is it official that the Hoosiers have adopted the Owls? Has Hoosier Nation adopted the Owls?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I have.
Well, I know you have, but Colin did too, and I was just curious if this was a trend.
It's more Nevada than the Owls.
Oh, everyone. Because
Alford's a head coach
of
Nevada.
But he's been other places.
Ricky P. Jr.
I think
beat
Dusty
the piss
May
out of
is going to, like, his projection is IU. Like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So.
One would think that is probably, if you were laying odds on the next Indiana coach, he's going to be right up there, because I know that a lot of teams tried to get him to leave FAU and threw a bunch of money at him, but I can't imagine a kid from where he came from have the opportunity to coach at Indiana with the kind of success that he's had and the kind of money that Indiana can throw at him that he wouldn't come. But that's a conversation for another day. We are very much looking forward to the Super Bowl this weekend. I hope that everybody hits all their side bets. I hope you all bet tails on the coin flip. I hope that Freddie doesn't interrupt the closing part of this show.
You got anything, Fred?
I'm going to say for the great one, Whiteboard Jody, the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders and his light. This is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.